We've got it.
This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are go.
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
You've got it.
Well, every radio broadcast we engage in is extremely important, but this one obviously more than many of the others. It is Sunday, the 12th day of August 2012. I am your host, Alex Jones, and we're going to be here for the next 2 hours, as we are every Sunday from 4 to 6 p.m. weekdays, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central, 12 noon to 3 p.m. Eastern. Okay, coming up in about 35 minutes from now, we're going to have Max Keiser on with us, former stockbroker, inventor of the virtual trading systems. He is going to be joining us to break down the controlled implosion of Europe that is being segued into the controlled implosion of our economy by design. And we're going to break down the Reuters article carried by Chicago Tribune and others. Exclusive: U.S. banks told to make plans for preventing collapse. But then they go on to say it was largely held secret. There's nothing really new in this article, but it did get some attention in the last few days. Saturday and today? Saying that, yes, in 2010, plans were drawn up to deal with a second banking crisis or collapse and for there to be no, quote, government bailouts, taxpayer bailouts. Same thing was done in 2008. They make you beg to basically have a tax to the banksters to prop up their derivatives that are impossible to prop up. But now they're admitting that the recession never ended almost 4 years ago. Now they're admitting the globe is in a depression. More and more experts are breaking this down, and our police and military sources are saying, and you've heard them on air, but you've also seen it in the news, they're preparing for civil unrest. They're delivering giant black armored war wagons to every major city. The Secretary of the Army is saying only the Army can keep order. But the economy's so great, but we're going to have local governments collapse and go bankrupt and then have the military roll in. And Ron Paul, back in May, warned of this. And he also warned before that, back in February of this year, but he's been warning going back to my film Matrix of Evil that I shot here in Austin in 2003 about once the globalists implode the world economy by design with derivatives, the great danger comes when they pose as the saviors. So Max Keiser is going to be joining us coming up a little bit after the bottom of the hour, and he'll be with us for the balance of the broadcast. And we're going to take your calls in the second hour for Max here today. Your questions, your comments, your statements about the true nature of the economy. Now, some people say, hey, let's put a good face on this. This is all confidence-based. And if we were in an economy that wasn't fully manipulated, yeah, confidence is important. But the only confidence out there is in the globalist. They want to destroy confidence in the real economy, make it very hard to operate if you're not an insider. The globalists exempt themselves to crony monopoly world. So the only system that they allow there to be confidence in is their fraud that is based in our enslavement. And so we have to create zero confidence by pointing out this criminal operation, or they're going to be able to complete their takeover and their implosion. The only way out of this is waking up to the fact that it's been engineered and these people are bragging about it. So that is the big issue we're going to be breaking down. When we come back, we'll play part of Ron Paul's warning. We'll get into all this news. There's a lot of other news. The reporter that broke it a year ago says that it was really a pedophile ring there in Pervert Valley. Well, of course it is. But now it's in the news that Sandusky was pimping little kids. Of course he was. Now the president who helped cover it up there at the university has been sent to Homeland Security.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome, my friends, and thank you for joining us. We are live on this 12th day of August, 2012. Thank you so much for joining us. Former top stockbroker, even worked with George Soros and his son, and of course invented what is now used as the virtual trading software by Goldman Sachs and others. Max Keiser, a worldwide TV host and radio host, will be joining us coming up at the bottom of the hour. He's over in Europe. It's late at night there, but I'm going to twist his arm to join us for about an hour and 20 minutes or so, so that in the second hour today, we can open the phones up for your economic questions or statements. And he's got some big inside dirt on J.P. Morgan. Chase, over and over again, he's broken big stories here on the air. He rarely contacts us. We usually end up contacting him to come on. He contacted us Friday after the show and said, I got something big. How soon can I get on? And I said, Sunday. So, well, the producer did. So he'll be joining us. Here's the deal. We got Paul Ryan being picked as the VP for Mitt Romney. Gonna get into that. We've got Daily Mail and others reporting Jerry Sandusky shared boys he molested with other high-profile pedophiles linked to Penn State as part of a sex ring. Gee, do you think fish swim in the sea? He was raping kids in the middle of the workday in the showers. The former head of the school that helped cover it up, the Washington Post, is reporting Graham Spanner has been sent to a national security job so secret we can't be told what it is at the Department of Homeland Enslavement. Gee, I got a lot of heat saying that Paterno knew what was going on when this first broke last year. Of course, you know, they've pulled down his statue now. Again, ladies and gentlemen, the only thing that never ceases to amaze me is the depths of the naivete. 18-plus children. I found press reports before this even reportedly broke. I went back and found articles from 1992. This supposedly all started in the late 90s. I remember having a Senator John DeCamp on, who wrote the Franklin cover-up more than a decade ago, when he said that his investigations of child molesters running the government, of course, DeCamp was also former CIA, went all the way to places like the Penn State football program. And of course, in that interview from more than 10 years ago, I think it was 12 years ago, people found it online. You hear me saying, let's not go there. No. That hasn't been adjudicated in court and shutting him down. He said Boys Town in Pennsylvania was doing it. That came out years later. I mean, the stuff that he discovered is unbelievable, but confirmed. It is just the depths of evil that have taken over. I mean, look at the reports out where the head of Homeland Security in New York is suing Janet Napolitano, and he's got a bunch of men lined up as witnesses. They would do things reportedly to the men in Homeland Security. I mean, senior deputy directors and people in the Justice Department that I can't even say on air, even though it's in the New York Daily News and other places from the suit. These people are crazy, okay? And this is only the tip of the iceberg. So again, I told you, ladies and gentlemen, if they're raping kids in broad daylight on weekdays in the showers at the field house, that means the entire system's involved. I don't know how many of you played football. I played football, wasn't very good at it. But let me tell you, middle of the week in a field house, it's full of people. At night, it's full of coaches watching film tapes. Field houses at a high school are full of people, much less a major college. They're like an anthill. Okay. That's the kind of news we'll get to later. Let me just get into Paul Ryan now. But here's what the big broadcast is about today. This is what the meat of the broadcast is about today. The military admits now that they're preparing for civil emergency. Martial law, by another name, is still martial law. quote Shakespeare, a rose still a rose by any other name. Tyranny is still tyranny by any other name. Now, this is a long-term program. This is going on before we went into the Depression in 2008 with all the Cook numbers, how we left the recession 4 years ago, and you know, the fake Nielsen ratings and the fake Gallup poll and just this whole fake system they spew at us. But if you look at what's happening with the euro, if you look at what's happening around the world, the 1.5 quadrillion, 1,500 trillion plus, in fake derivatives that make Bernie Madoff and Ken Lay blush, if you look at all of that, it is hundreds of times what we owe or what we could ever pay back. The banksters that run the six mega banks that have bragged that they've canceled, I just had a Freudian slip, called them cancer, that they have conquered the world. This cancer has taken over, and as Max Kaiser said a few weeks ago on my show, I'm always pointing out these people are cancer, they want to take over. If cancer had a consciousness, it would you know, think that it was survival of the fittest, social Darwinism, it's its right to take over, when really it kills the host. And Kaiser said, yeah, cancer is programmed to take it all. They're programmed to take it all. They will take it all. They've got the mainstream media up there shilling for them, the establishment facade. Now that that facade is crumbling, they're coming in with internet censorship and control of the new media and presidential alerts breaking in over radio and TV and your cell phone. But bottom line, before we go to break and come back and I really break this down, system-wide, not just here but all over the world, because it's a global system, these Ponzi scheme operators got the planet to buy into based on the dollar. They are preparing for a total collapse from which the banksters are going to pose as the saviors. And a big telltale sign of when they're getting ready to drop the hammer is when you start seeing news articles in Fox News, Chicago Tribune, Reuters, Washington Times. I mean, I've got them all here. About martial law, about highway checkpoints, about financial collapse, but just starting to report on it like it's not a bad thing. The Washington Times is saying it is a bad thing. But the others are talking about how great this is. Hey, gee, I wish our city had some troops marching around. I've actually played newscasts here in St. Louis where they have regular army driving around in tanks arresting people and running checkpoints, and they got guys in the news going, gee, I think it's really great. Wish they'd stay. Well, don't worry, they will. So this is the conversion of our economy into the Ponzi scheme. They sign on your pensions, the country, everything, to too big to fail. And it's designed to black hole everything into it with the bankers regulating it, with a total centralized system picking winners and losers, a.k.a. monopoly cronyism, mafia kleptocrat government. Fascism, corporatism is not a good enough word for it. With socialism at the bottom of it to keep the public through socialism that leads into communism dependent on systems that offshore banks run. Because they've got to have groups that'll burn the cities down if they don't get their welfare checks or if the welfare checks stop having purchasing power. And that's the question I want to pose here. I'm going to write an article with Watson the next few days dealing with historically other empires, Rome and others, bringing in large immigrant populations, creating large welfare populations, the exact same thing's been done before. All of those ancient civilizations, and even modern ones, end up collapsing and large swaths burning. So Rome burned, will the West? There's already fires and riots and police shooting people all over Europe. Once beautiful bastions of wealth are pitted out husk. Argentina, just 15 years ago, was the richest country south of the United States. 100 years ago, the saying was as rich as an Argentine. They were even richer than the people in the U.S. per capita. All of that's gone, totally enslaved, disheveled, because they signed on to the Ponzi scheme. Here's the point. The globalists want to implode things to buy everything up for pennies on the global digital currency, strategic reserves. Special drawing rights, SDRs. So when we come back, Ron Paul's warning of it, of how they're going to stage the collapse, then bring in martial law as the solution. We're going to break that down, play a clip from a talk Ron Paul gave. Then we're going to get Max Kaiser on about this and a lot more. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, Alex Jones here. We are back live on this Sunday broadcast. Well, a lot of people are really excited because mainline neocon radio told them that Paul Ryan is so conservative that George Washington basically worships him from the grave. The problem is his record, not his rhetoric, but his record. He supported No Child Left Behind, the federal takeover of education, the prescription drug benefit known as the largest expansion of welfare state since Lyndon Johnson's Transportation Security Administration. He helped set that up as well, the TSA, to grope everybody. That harasses all the travelers and gropes your family. He supported the Patriot Act, giving government enhanced powers for warrantless snooping. The Troubled Asset Relief Program that bailed out the too big to fail. Trillions of dollars of your money to the foreign banks. He supported bailing out General Motors and using your tax money to ship it to China. And the National Defense Authorization Act, the secret arrest and killing of U.S. citizens. In short, he is a typical Bush-era Republican. That's what Jack Kenny, the New American Magazine, wrote. We've got a story up at Infowars.com, and I agree with those statements. Paul Ryan's Tea Party problem, voted for bailouts before he was against it. Yes. And again, people say, well, then what are you going to do, vote for Obama? No. I'm just saying, let's get honest here. The global offshore banks that are financing Mitt Romney and financing Obama get what they want. And these guys are puppets at the end of the day. Sure, with Obama, you get some really nasty anti-Second Amendment Chicago crime syndicate people who are really dangerous. But Mitt Romney has supported banning semi-autos before. And you notice we've seen Fox News promoting banning the owning of semi-autos. We've seen Bill Kristol. We've seen Rupert Murdoch. We've seen Bill O'Reilly. We've seen Michael Savage come out and say, you know what? Ban semi-autos. And if that doesn't concern so-called conservatives, you know, I'm just a constitutionalist. Thomas Jefferson was called a classical liberal. Well, you know what? I like Thomas Jefferson. I've read his writings. I like what he had to say. You want to call me right-wing or left-wing or whatever. I want freedom. Okay? And when foreign banks in hundreds of publications, we wrote an article a few weeks ago titled Banks Declare They've Conquered the U.S. and Europe. And it has all the video clips of the head of the EU and the head of Goldman Sachs and CNBC and The Economist magazine bragging that they've conquered us and that they're going to use the crisis, that Herman von Rompuy, at that time, head of the EU, now he's head of the council, saying we're going to use this crisis to bring in the world government and we're going to use the crisis to take over. In fact, I've got articles here today where the Federal Reserve chief was on national news, Friday? And then again this morning, Bernanke, the private Federal Reserve, saying Europe needs more centralization and more power and more taxes. And then lectures the people, says they're lazy. Folks, the Europeans aren't lazy. I mean, what, are Americans working three jobs on average apiece lazy too? No. Most of the money doesn't even go to welfare. It goes to these cronies. And the Fed chief is talking about all this dictatorial control they want. There's two articles up at DrudgeReport.com. These are also at Infowars.com. Right there in the middle column, they've moved down from the top. One of them is something we reported on a week ago, but it's finally getting out there, and that's good news. The Civil War of 2016. U.S. military officers are told to plan to fight Americans in a, quote, Tea Party insurrection. And it just goes on to talk about how they believe the main threat is going to be the Tea Party and linking up with Al-Qaeda. And you're like, that's ridiculous. The Tea Party is so Islamophobic. If they see a Sikh in a who isn't even Muslim, people started wanting to attack like piranhas. But whatever, you heard it, Tea Party, you are with Al-Qaeda. Of course, I told you the internal documents already said that. You've heard that here about 5,000 times, probably. No exaggeration. I say it every day in the last 4 years since we got secret documents 3.5 years ago, saying returning veterans, gun owners, libertarians, literally in the army drills, the bad guys wear overalls or coveralls and John Deere hats. We even have footage of it in my films, where they films like Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA, my fourth Police State film. And the guys they fight are wearing farmer outfits. Okay, the military doesn't train to fight Al-Qaeda. Our military trains Al-Qaeda. They used them against the Russians, the Serbs in the mid-90s, and then they used them against Libya and now Syria. And the CFR came out last week and said, quote, we need Al-Qaeda. I have links to that in articles right now saying how good they are. So see, Al-Qaeda is now good. The TSA needs to go down your pants to check and see if Hank Williams is hiding under there, because that's basically who they don't like. So here it is, and it's the Washington Times, and they have links to there's a whole bunch of military reports. And then Drudge also links to our report by Suzanne Pozzle. U.S. Army Tactical Manual describes how to control domestic insurrection. That's another one. How to put you in a re-education camp. Oh, it's public. They don't even hide that. The FEMA camps that don't exist, Glenn Beck said so. So I thought you might want to just check those two out, because here's the issue. I'm going to say this very, very slowly because we have new listeners. In fact, we're going to go to Ron Paul before we go to Kaiser, because I'm going to have him on in the next hour. We're going to come back and play a clip from Ron Paul and go to Max Kaiser. But I want to say right now, foreign megabanks are bragging. Can we cue that clip up from CNBC that I've played 20 times? They're bragging everywhere that they've conquered America. And to make sure they fully bankrupt us under their control, they have been training the military to take our guns and put us in labor camps and collapse society. And Ron Paul's talking about this. And they're going to use the giant welfare hordes as the weapon to make us beg for it. So here is a clip of them bragging that we're under global government run by international bankers. Here it is.
So mostly what they do is hold summits.
I think that right now the question is, do we all work for central bankers? That's what I want to address to our guest tonight. Is this global governance at last? Is it one world, the central bankers in charge? Jim Urio, you say we've got some downside here, a correction in the markets. Fine. But aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do? Aren't we all just counting on the fact that there's a Bernanke put and that we won't go any lower than, say, 5% down from here?
Of course we are, because if we look at the economic data, there's nothing to get excited about in that.
All right. Let's just stop right there. And they go on with all four guests admitting we're under global government and slave to bankers. But in our article, bankers declare they've conquered the U.S. and Europe. We've got clips of them saying they've conquered us and laughing about it, because they know you're watching the Olympics. They know you're watching Dancing with the Stars. They know you're watching America's Got Talent. They know you're watching, you know, paint dry. Okay, I'm not saying you're bad that you are. But the point is, these criminals that make Bernie Madoff look like an angel are in control right now. Friends, the United States and the rest of the world is being mopped up. We've already been captured to a great extent. But we're going into draconian authoritarian oppression, because the ruling class, that happens to be private central bankers, they hired the ADL and Southern Poverty Law Center the last 50 years to demonize anybody that pointed that out, including congressmen. They have people arrested in Europe that point that out. They have now openly themselves bragged, we have captured you through fraud. Now we're going to take over what's left. Now we're going to shut down your cities via Agenda 21 and carbon taxes. Ha, ha, ha. And now my military sources, but also in mainstream news, and my police sources are saying October, late October, early November, total collapse. Chicago Tribune saying that, the federal government's getting the big six mega banks, five of them U.S., ready during a collapse to not have federal help. Just really incredible information. I have a video showing all these articles up at Infowars.com titled U.S. Banks Told to Prepare for Total Collapse. That's up there, red linked at Infowars.com under it. I'm driving into work Friday and see a drone over 290. I got footage of it, got out, found the operator. It was TxDOT. You want to see that footage, it's up at Infowars.com. So these are proliferating so much now that I can't even drive to work. Of course, past that was a checkpoint on the road, too, for trucks, but it blocks the road. Just such a free country. So we're going to be going over all of that right before Max Keiser leaves us. Now, it's close to midnight over there in Europe on the continent where he joins us from. We're going to be going to him here in just a second to go over this. But here's the $64 million statement. If we do not identify the globalists as the culprits of this, they're going to continue the collapse because it's designed, they brag it is, to consolidate power as they pose as the saviors. So they're always busy telling you you're not in a recession or depression, but give us more power or you will be, as they walk us in to this system that they've bragged they're establishing. We'll talk to Max Keiser for the balance of this hour and as much of the next hour as he can do as we take phone calls in the next hour. But first, here's Ron Paul, just an excerpt. The full speech is up at Infowars.com. Ron Paul warns Americans of coming economic collapse, and he's getting into point three here. The dollar is inevitable to fail. Will other currencies fail first and then it? They're all tied to it, or will it fail first? Here is a few minutes of that, then we'll go to Max Keiser of MaxKeiser.com. Here it is.
It's impossible to predict the time when confidence will be lost, but it can come quickly. Resorting to buying other paper currencies will not be of much help. When the dollar crashes, most likely the purchasing power of all currencies, since all currencies hold dollars as a reserve, will go down as well. This means that dollars and other currencies will go into buying consumer items, precious metals, and other physical properties. Consumer prices will soar, as well as interest rates. The central bank will lose control, and the more they inflate, the worse the confidence becomes. The interest rates will respond to these efforts by rising sharply. If the Fed tries to reverse the run on the dollar, interest rates will also soar, and the pain on American citizens will be of such proportion that political chaos will result. Either scenario leads to political and social chaos, the third event, and the most dangerous. With no ability of the federal government to fund its commitments, international or domestic, major changes will occur in our system. The social unrest will elicit cries for government to exert unusual force to head off a complete breakdown of law and order. The ultimate trap will be set for a system of government claiming to protect a free society. If more power and police authority are not given to the federal government, it will be argued that only anarchy will result. If more government policing power is given, it will mean a lethal threat to civil liberties. Already, we have permitted the notion that a single person, the Attorney General or the President, can decide who is an enemy combatant, thus denying that individual the right of habeas corpus, permitting indefinite detentions without charges made. This attitude towards civil liberties has changed significantly since the fear built around 9/11. Yes, I know, declaring one an enemy combatant is reserved only for the radical Muslims engaged in terrorism against the United States. To be reassured by this reasoning is quite dangerous and naive. Logic should not lead us to equate suspects with terrorists and include American citizens. And yet, this has already been set by precedent. Under difficult circumstances, our political leaders will not be hesitant to use these powers to maintain order. Tragically, the people may even demand it. We are rapidly moving toward a dangerous time in our history. Society as we know it is vulnerable to political and social unrest. This impending crisis comes as a consequence of our flawed foreign and domestic economic policies, a silly notion about money, ignorance about central banking, and ignoring the onerous power and mischief of out-of-control intelligence agencies. our unsustainable welfare state and a willingness to sacrifice privacy and civil liberties in an attempt to achieve safety and security from an inept government. Dangerous times indeed. What can be done about it? Must we wait for the inevitable and expect to restore our liberties in a street fight against the overwhelming power of the state? Not a good option. The only way that we can prevent blood from running in the streets is to offer a better idea of the proper role of government in a society that desires first and foremost liberty. And that is impossible without a firm commitment by our thought leaders to the ideas of freedom, the source of all creative energy and prosperity. An all-powerful state is the threat to that.
The all-powerful state is the threat. That's what America's built on. And Max Keiser, 3.5 years ago in the Obama deception, broke down exactly what would happen economically, and we've now seen it unfold. He'll be with us throughout the next hour. He joins us from the continent of Europe right now, normally of France. He's in Amsterdam right now. And, of course, Max Keiser is a filmmaker, broadcaster, former broker, and options trader. He is known for his invention of virtual specialist technology, a software system used by the Hollywood Stock Exchange, and a lot of the new systems are based on that. And for his accurate predictions of global economic events, he correctly predicted the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac breakdown and what happened in the Iceland's economy, and it just goes on and on. He's labeled J.P. Morgan the biggest financial terrorist on Wall Street. And he's got some breaking news on them, but we'll get to that when we start the next hour. We're going to break here in a few minutes, Max. You heard what Ron Paul was just talking about. It's now confirmed they're gearing up the military for every U.S. city and telling banks get ready for collapse, but telling the public everything is just fine. Max Keiser, what is the real state of the world economy right now?
Hey, Alex, great to be on. Well, last time I was on your show, remember you asked me to make a prediction when this global collapse is coming. I said, on the outside, maybe 9 months. But even in those short few days since I spoke with you last, it seems like the drumbeats are beating louder toward this idea of a global financial collapse. And the banking regulators are asking all the big banks around the world to come back to them with a worst case scenario. What do you have on your books and how would you go through a collapse? And interesting, J.P. Morgan, of course, responded. They said that they've got a negative equity of about $30 or $40 billion on their books. So the entire $140 billion market cap would be gone in an Enron-like instant. Of course, they're totally plugged into the Fed and the Treasury. Which would collapse the Fed and the Treasury and the U.S. dollar. So when Ron Paul talks about the collapse of the U.S. dollar, what you fill in here for those who are following this at home and want to get the whole playbook, first we see the collapse of J.P. Morgan, then the collapse of the Treasury and the Fed, then the collapse of the dollar, brought about by J.P. Morgan's books, which have $90 trillion worth of what they call derivatives, basically claims that are impossible to ever fulfill, that's bigger than the entire gross domestic product of the entire planet Earth, $90 trillion, just one bank.
All right, now stay there, Max, because again, you're retired at a young age, former stockbroker, inventor of a lot of the modern systems they use today. But come back in layman's terms, even for our business listeners, break down the point we're reaching right now and why they've got armored vehicles being loaded off trains in every major city right now. For the American people and the people of Europe. Why are they gearing up for total collapse? Can it be averted? Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones.
Yeah, I've been watching the globalists through fraudulent derivatives buy off governments, media, buy off the defense contractors, and brag that they're establishing this authoritarian world government. And I got a better idea. How about the national sovereignty kick in and we arrest all these people? Now, they've got all our pension funds, everything bound to their fraud, but they're planning on taking it all. I mean, a great quote from Max Keiser when he was on a few weeks ago. He said, Alex, they're like cancer, these bankers. They're anti-free market, and they're programmed to take it all. cancer is programmed to take it all. So in layman's terms, there's been big breaking news in the Financial Times this weekend on Friday about J.P. Morgan and their balance sheet. You, again, said they were short. You said it would start in London with silver about a year ago here. So break down the technicals of that. But in generalities, where the world economy is, because a few weeks ago you said, because you never really talked like this, you said, no, the collapse is coming. You know, now it's basically can't be reversed. The only question is, will we let them fully take over and only make it worse? Max Keiser.
Yeah, the outside, my prediction was April of next year when taxes are collected in the U.S. and a huge shortfall will become evident. And U.S. AAA rated bonds, which are now AA plus, will be downgraded to single A or less. And that will, at the very outset of this prediction, will trigger a chain reaction of U.S. debt default collapse and dollar collapse. But between now and then, any number of events could happen that would trigger the collapse beforehand. And as far as the news that broke last week, that front page story in the Financial Times talking about the CFTC, Commodity Futures Trading Corporation, which is the regulator that overlooks commodity futures trading, including silver trading, run by Gary Gensler, a former Goldman Sachs guy. They made a comment, a guy named Bart Chilton, who's one of the people over at the CFTC, I know from dealing with him through the box office futures contracts, what his reputation is not good. But they made a statement saying that they see a lot of devious trading in silver. They're not sure whether they're going to prosecute. And the way this was played out in the media was that, oh, well, the Max Keiser crash J.P. Morgan, buy silver crash J.P. Morgan campaign, you see, the CFTC is saying that there is no evidence of wrongdoing in the silver market. Now, this is the same CFTC and other regulators who oversee the LIBOR market, of course, a massive $500 trillion scandal.
Yeah, let's just stop right there, because I just showed a Fox News with a headline about economic collapse from a few weeks ago. And it breaks down that the federal government's now spending 50% a year more than it takes in. But you're saying by next April, when the taxes come due to the private Federal Reserve, that it's going to become even bigger and that'll be a big trigger. But getting back to LIBOR, yeah, tell folks about that, because that's almost gotten swept under the rug that, hey, the bankers do get together and collude to screw us.
No, as Ron Paul would tell you, for every dollar in tax the government collects, they spend $1.40. In money that they have no way of ever paying back. And that ratio is getting completely out of control as the debt ceiling is breached over and over again. It'll be breached again very soon. But this CFTC report relating to silver, they're trying to spin it as if, well, this idea of buying silver, you don't do that because you're not going to crash J.P. Morgan in doing so. But it misses some very key points here. First of all, the reason you would want to buy silver to crash J.P. Morgan is not to satisfy the regulator. That's not who we're doing this for. We're not trying to get the regulator to regulate better, because there's no hope of that ever happening. We're saying that the regulator, in this case CFTC, is never going to blow the whistle on J.P. Morgan's illegal activities or the CFTC. But what we can do is we can buy silver to protect ourselves. And the point I made then and the point I'll make today is that this collapse is coming. And in my opinion, instead of being passive and watching from the sidelines, I believe everybody should try to hasten the collapse by buying physical silver. This would bring the collapse about sooner. But if you are positioned correctly with your physical silver, you'll have the wealth. Your silver will start to trade to $100, $200, $300 an ounce from the current $28 an ounce. The banksters will go bankrupt. And you'll have the money. We'll have the money.
Okay, I want to get more into this technical thing later if we talk about the general issues and take some calls. But if you just joined us, London Guardian reported on your plan to expose the fact that J.P. Morgan, from your sources, is manipulating silver prices. I mean, that's like asking if a bear goes to the bathroom in the woods or if the sun comes up in the morning. And now it's back in the Financial Times and the Business Insider. And they have the regulators a year later responding, saying, oh, no, don't punch me there. That won't hurt me. I mean, they're crying uncle. They're tapping out. Why would they be squealing now, trying to discredit this idea? Well, we know precious metals, but other commodities expose inflation. So the big banks have been in there manipulating. That's not been debated, really, to drive down their prices. But if they go to QE3 in the fall of the winter, it's going to send it racing back up above, mainline banks. I saw CNBC a few weeks ago saying Morgan Stanley and others are saying $2,000 gold this year. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but this whole, oh, please, don't listen to Max Keiser. Having federal regulators, the head regulator, respond to you, is that a sign that they're very freaked out right now? Or were they just out of the blue responding to you when they never want to respond to anybody?
No, when silver jumped from 25, where we talked about it last year, to 50, that put a serious dent on J.P. Morgan's balance sheet. And we saw evidence of that a couple of weeks ago when they came out with this $2 billion, but then it became a $9 billion loss from what's called the London Whale in London. That's a direct result of covering their silver shorts. They use their balance sheet in this smorgasbord of fraud where they can just move gains and losses from any division of anywhere in the world.
And by the way, not to toot your horn again, you did call who had really gotten the $2 billion of MF Global, John Corzine money. You said the head of J.P. Morgan called up and said, I'm going to blow your head off if you don't give me that money. Now, that never came out in the news, but it did come out. The money did go to J.P. Morgan Chase.
Yeah, that's right. It did go to J.P. Morgan Chase. I was the first to point that out. And that's exactly right. And they're involved in so many aspects of this global fraud because they're the market maker. They're the clearing firm. They're the bank that stands as the counterparty for the global derivatives business. When I say that J.P. Morgan has $90 trillion of derivatives on their own books, part and parcel with that is that they're the market maker and counterparty to this global business because they get a fee on every single one of these trades. But the fact is, and what this FDIC demand for these banks prepare for banking Armageddon is for them to submit what their true state of the balance sheets are. Morgan came in with a negative net worth, negative $34 billion. So they have a market cap of $140 billion. So once the cascade effect starts to cripple this bank irreparably, going the way of Enron, Their stock's going to go to zero. They've used their own stock to collateralize naked short sales in the silver futures market.
Sure. Well, listen, I want to break this down, but I want to move a little bit slower here because I study this all the time and barely understand it. And I know some of the listeners may have trouble following this. The average radio show goes, what is your favorite color? You know, Bill Clinton good, George Bush bad, or Al Gore bad, Mitt Romney good. So, I want to be able to go over all this for people, but the point is, you're saying it's getting towards the end of the line. You got a company worth $140 billion, in real numbers, negative $30-plus billion, with a derivatives hangover of $90-plus trillion, and that's even in the Washington Post. Bank of America, 70-something trillion, Wells Fargo. I mean, these type of numbers, and they think we're so stupid, they're going to have government sign us onto their debt while lecturing us that we don't work hard enough.
Yeah, I mean, think of Hurricane Katrina. The levees broke, and those people found themselves in a very bad situation. That's the derivatives market. The levees that hold it back, all the fraud, are cracking. And the global banking is, even the Bank of International Settlements in Switzerland, which is the central bank of central banks, they're issuing warnings internally to these central banks at the Fed, ECB, Bank of England, flashing the warning signs like, you guys need to boost your collateral immediately. You are cracking. You are breaking. Alert.
Yeah, that's
alert.
What they're telling them in Reuters. They say, start selling your hard assets now before it plunges. You won't get anything once it starts. We've got to keep the big six Federal Reserve banks up.
Well, look at what the UK did. In order to support the derivatives market, Gordon Brown, when he was there at the Exchequer, he sold half of Britain's gold supply to satisfy this global derivatives market. Now, when the crash is coming, the UK is in a horrible position. They have less than 300 tons of gold. It's one of the worst positions in the world. Only the countries with gold are going to survive this thing. And, you know, interestingly, Italy has 2,500 tons of gold. They're in a good position. The U.S. has 8,000 tons of gold, ostensibly. They're actually, if that gold is there, they're in a relatively good position. The Eurozone has 12,000
tons. Hey, well, we got to go to break, Max. Stay there. Here's the toll-free number to join us. We're going to break it all down in the next hour, 877-789-ALEX. Stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Now, we're going to open the phones up coming up the next segment with Max Keiser. but I want specific questions. You know, we normally just have free-for-all, and that's great. A lot of different items and different angles get brought up that wouldn't be. But I want to cover the global meltdown, and can we avert it? Or if we have to go through it, how do we make it, you know, not as severe? And how do we make sure the globalists that did this don't get more power out of it, like Ron Paul says in the speech I was just playing excerpts of earlier? Okay? Believe me, folks, I wish I was wrong. I wish Max Kaiser was wrong. I wish Bob Chapman had been wrong. I wish Gilbert Griffin had been wrong. I wish Ron Paul was wrong. I wish all the other economists, Gerald Celente and people, were wrong. But this... The globalists did this on purpose. That's why they've been building up the police state. And now they're saying, oh, we're going to build a police state to keep everybody safe, just like they've done in other cultures and other civilizations. But they engineered it, is the point. They don't want things to get better. 877-789-ALEX, 877-789-ALEX. The phones are now open, 877-789-ALEX. 2539 is what Alex translates out to, 877-789-ALEX. Alex, going back to Max Kaiser. Max, this is a short segment, long segment's coming up. But give us a prelude. I want to take a few calls, but I want to get your take on how you see this collapse happening. Like you said, it's in all the big financial publications, but the more elitist ones, mainline pedestrian ones, where everything's fine, invest today, you know, sponsored by Fidelity. But when you look at the establishment, they're all digging in. They got militaries ready to shut everything down to protect the ultra-rich neighborhoods. They're digging in like it's the end of the world. And you know, I've always known that we were moving in this direction, but now we're so close. Is there any way to dodge this bullet?
Well, I wanted to draw your attention to something that happened last week, which is very telling. You saw that this UK bank Standard Charter got caught up in an investigation by a U.S. regulator for... laundering money, essentially, for Iran. One of the internal emails from Standard Charter said when this investigation started a while back, the effing Americans can go F themselves if they think they can tell us how to run our business. And why this is revealing is because, as I, you know, you've asked me on your show many times, why do these banks do this? Are they themselves going to perish in the fire of this collapse? And the answer, of course, is yes, but it's a game of musical chairs, and the banks right now are sorting out who is going to survive. Standard Charter is a huge bank. It's now at war with Wall Street. Wall Street is now at war with the UK banking system. The UK banking system is HSBC, Barclays Bank with LIBOR, HSBC with Mexican drug money laundering cartel, and now Standard Charter with Iranian money laundering. They have now taken positions, the City of London versus Wall Street. This is what I knew was going to happen, and this is what happens at the end game. This is when the banks, they're going to fight to finish who's going to be the supremo and winner in all of this. And, of course, the winner will be, as we alluded to before the break, those economies with the most gold. And the two economies that stand out that are in the worst position are the UK with less than 300 tons of gold, and Japan has virtually no gold. Those are actually the two biggest losers immediately as we head into the crash. Japan has a debt to GDP over 200%, Alex. That's almost double what the US has. And the UK, if you add all the private debt of their banks, they have debt to GDP of 800%. So these two economies, multi-trillion dollar economies, are really the first into the black hole. But they are not the main event. The main event, of course, will be the U.S. when it goes against the euro. But I think the euro is going to survive ultimately against the dollar. The dollar is the linchpin currency. It is the world reserve currency. It is the currency in which all derivatives around the world, $800 trillion, are priced in dollars. So when the dollar goes, it sucks everything down with it. And but before that happens, we'll see Japan and the U.K. into the black hole. And of course, what I tell people is there is, when Ron Paul says the all-powerful state is the enemy, I wish there was some state. There is no state. There are only banksters. And
well, it is the global bankster state. They've said that. And that's what some libertarians...
But if you're dealing with the cancer of banksters, the only solution is to own physical precious metals. Don't
stay there. Stay there. Got a break.
From the front lines of the information war... It's Alex Jones.
right. We've told you for a long time there'd be a global derivatives meltdown for at least 14 years with economists like George Humphrey, former Austin City Council member, friend of mine, successful businessman, is the most important thing, what I admire him most about. I need to get him back in studio, but he lives all over the world, so good luck catching him in Austin a few months out of the year. He was the first guy back in 98 who said derivatives, Alex, they're worse than fractional reserve banking, and they are going to sell them to all the governments, tie everything into it. He used the term too big to fail, and he said they're going to hold us all hostage. That impresses me when somebody 14 years ago, by the way, get me Humphrey. He's been out of town, right? Because I've been saying I want him in studio. Problem is, you get him in, he'll never talk about himself. He'll never go back and talk about the books he wrote saying it. But Max Keiser, who's been predicting it all as well, joins us. Former top stockbroker, retired now. And, of course, he also invented the virtual trading system that's used on most stock markets today. Must be nice to be retired at his age. Actually, he's not retired. He works probably harder now than ever, but he's a journalist. Max, I want to go to calls in the next segment, but let's cover the waterfront. Break down the pillars of the collapse, the different ways it can be triggered, the next countries to go down in the euro. As you mentioned earlier, even the big Swiss central bank is saying, get ready. Chicago Tribune, Reuters, Fox News all saying collapse. The big mega banks that own the Federal Reserve are being told, sell off assets, get yourself in order. We can't inflate anymore. But then Bernanke's been hinting at QE3. Would QE3 stave that off? Because the U.S., everything's based in U.S. dollar derivatives, as you said, and it's the petrodollar as well. But it's darned if you do, you know, damned if you don't. Because still, okay, the rest of the world collapses, then we collapse last, or we collapse first, they collapse. I mean, it's a seesaw. We start collapsing, and then Europe goes up, but then they collapse, and we go back up. But overall, society's rotting. Where is it all going? What are we going to see happen in Europe? What will it look like if JPMorgan Chase goes under? What's happening?
Well, there's a number of different fires, you know, that are burning right now. One of the biggest is in agricultural prices. The course of corn, as you well know, is hitting all-time, or multi-decade highs.
And we all predicted that.
Right. And so this, you know, one of the steadfast rules in economics is when a society spends more than 40% of its disposable income on food, you tend to get revolutions. We saw this in Egypt recently. There was a big spike in food prices around the world, and this triggered the revolution.
Why is there a food bubble?
Well, most of it comes from speculation, again, from this battle between Wall Street and the rest of the world using derivatives. And that speculation is made possible by things like quantitative easing and other Fed policies that keep interest rates near zero. Because when the speculators borrow money, the cost of them borrowing money is zero. It's not like you or me where our credit card is 16% or we get a penalty, it goes to 30% or the mortgage is or whatever the mortgage is. If you're a speculator on Wall Street, you get to borrow money at 0%. And of course, the way it's set up is when you make a mistake and you had like Knight Capital last week, they blew up because of automatic algorithmic trading. $440 million blew up in 45 minutes. They get a cram down. They get a bailout from their friends on Wall Street. But, of course, that's not available to anyone else. If they get into financial trouble, they don't get their friends to, you know, pass the bowl and bail you out within 2 days. No. But so the artificially low interest rates through quantitative easing and all these other Fed policies keep rates near zero. That means the cost of borrowing is near zero. That means if you're a speculator and you know that the price of corn is going higher and this is causing an effect on itself, a feedback mechanism, that's only getting worse, you can keep that price rising with this borrowed money. So that's a huge fire going on in the global economy is agricultural speculation. Then you have these Franken markets, these like the Knight Capital or the flash crashes or the derivatives crashes that are happening on exchanges all over the world. 86% of all the volume on the New York Stock Exchange are computers trading with computers. They're not humans anymore. They're all programmed to trade with each other to generate fees for the people who write the program.
And so more and more, it is a casino gulag where average people cannot make it. Pension funds are being cheated. The system is eating itself.
Well, speaking of the casino gulag, you see that Facebook now in the UK is going to offer online gambling with British pounds. So legalized online gambling from Facebook, as I predicted, is coming. And there's a huge push to bring this legalized gambling to America. So people won't have jobs, but they'll have access to tokens and food stamps that they can then use to gamble
with. And government's going to subsidize that, just like in Europe and the U.S., where illegals are given other people's tax ID numbers, and then the IRS holds the citizen responsible and takes their money for what the illegal does. I mean, this is beyond a criminal system. This is like the Mad Hatter Tea Party.
Well, another prediction I made on your show last year, Alex, was that one stock, I don't recommend stocks, you know, as an investor really, but more as a social commentary. One stock that I said was going to hit new highs was, Prison Corrections Corp of America just hit another new high, because the business model of prisons and the corruption in the justice system to get people into prison is feeding that industry in a way that's making private prison operators very wealthy in this economy. So that's the gulag. So here you have Facebook giving online gambling via Facebook. That's the casino. And then Corrections Corp of America is the gulag. And these two are together now.
All right, let me ask you this question. I want to ask you how war comes into it, because they always do that near a collapse. And why am I seeing police and military and even mainstream news saying, get ready for martial law in late October, early November? I keep getting that. And I'm not saying that's going to happen, but the police and military are being told that. What do you think is happening there?
There's a collapse coming, you know, financial. Look at Greece. Greece collapsed. Ireland basically collapsed. There's pockets of economies around the world that are in collapse. There's depression around the world. You know, the U.S. is going through kind of a stealth depression. If you add up the people on food stamps, the people who are uninsured.
They've doubled the number of people on welfare in 4 years. I mean,
the number of people who are either at or below the poverty line in the U.S. is 100 million people, out of 300 million.
Yeah, these are electronic food stamps.
Right. And that, of course, who processes the electronic food stamps? J.P. Morgan. That's one of their big businesses. They're the ones who supply all the architecture and the electronics.
So
and
it's a camouflage giant soup kitchen. We didn't have 100 million people at soup kitchens in the Great Depression. Now we do.
It's worse than the Great Depression in many ways, because they're also complete. Well, you have the Dust Bowl during the Great Depression. So that's similar. Also, you have the Dust Bowl and the Depression equally as you did back in the 30s. But back in the 30s, you had people still on family farms that could grow their own food, but they're criminalizing that, aren't they, Alex? So that those people will end up in prison, and of course they feed Corrections Corp of America, and then they can play gambling on the Facebook casino gulag page. So
incredible.
So it's much worse than the Depression.
What about the war card? I mean, obviously that's now steaming ahead off the rails. I mean, that always goes along with this, doesn't it?
The war card, to me, is the poor man's election gimmick. You know, the people who are in presidential election cycles, because they're not smart enough to be Wall Street banksters, they're just warmongers. And as they get closer to an election, they'll start a war. Because if they were smart, they'd be on Wall Street making their money that way. It's interesting that Mitt Romney, of course, comes from Wall Street. He's a private equity guy, and he's an asset stripper, and he's a guy who's destroyed, you know, the economy in many, many different ways. He, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how he plays the war card. You know, the people who are over him, the media companies that, of course, position the war on their network television as a spectacle, they want war, especially as we go into the election cycle. So he may become a warmonger like the rest. He could just be an asset stripper and a Wall Street bankster. I guess he's multi-talented in this way. We'll see.
Well, he has promised to be multi-talented. He said, look, I'm not just going to strip companies and ship jobs overseas. Look at his precious Paul Ryan voted for the banker bailout, but he's hailed as the most conservative person since Ronald Reagan or something. I thought that was Ron Paul.
Well, you know, that's kind of a different topic, really. I hear the music. I think we're going to break now.
Yes, we are. Max Kaiser is our guest of MaxKaiser.com. I'm Alex Jones. We're going to go to your calls. Straight ahead, MJ, Gail, JB, Baron, Victoria, Steve, Aaron. We'll get to all of you straight ahead. I'm Alex Jones. I want to go to calls, and before we leave here today, I want to get your take on if it does go with the death of the dollar first, because mathematically, as you and others have broken down, countless economists, even Fox News analysts are having their economists are having to say there's no way out of this derivatives. You either write it off and then the big banks hold everybody hostage, or you're held hostage by them while they slowly strangle you. And obviously that's the worst option. But before you leave us today, I want to get your take on what that progression of collapse would look like. I've got a good idea, but when they've got the military preparing for re-education camps and it's declassified, that's even freaking me out. I mean, as much as I study this, and it's like, wow, it's really re-education camps, really, in America? But I guess it happened everywhere else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I always go back to the Enron example, because here's a company that up until the very last moment was considered to be the smartest guys in the room, a model company. They were on the cover of many magazines. And then within 24 hours, they went to zero. Stock went to zero, $80 billion in losses, because there was a total fraud. They had many, many off-balance sheet special purpose
entities. How much bigger is this fraud compared to theirs?
Well, it's global. It's a global fraud, but it's run by the same guys doing the same things. Everyone who left Enron got jobs at other banks doing the same stuff, and they've all working together now on a global basis.
How bad will it get? Is there any way out?
No, of course not. There's because the value of the claims can never be repaid, so they're going to go to being worthless. The people who are holding on to the Enron stock on a Tuesday, they woke up on a Wednesday, and what they thought was worth $80 a share was worth zero. That's why this is very tricky, because it's not going to, people are not going to have time to think about it and prepare necessarily, because it'll happen overnight.
What does your gut tell you the time frame is?
I told you before, I think the longest we could hope for is April of next year. But it could happen anywhere between now and April of next year.
Okay, well, the establishment in Europe and the U.S. is saying late October, early November. That's what they're telling the police and military.
Well, that falls into my zone, certainly. I mean, the funny thing is that one reason things are not happening in Europe right now is because most European bureaucrats are on the beach. You know, in Europe, people take August off. I'm in actually Paris, not Amsterdam right now. And
guys told me you were in Amsterdam. I was like,
I'm in Paris. So that you can roll a bowling ball down the Haussmann Boulevard, one of the biggest streets in Paris, and not hit anything. It's completely empty. So therefore, nothing's going to happen in August. People start getting back to their desks in September, mid-September. Then they'll start to panic by the end of September. And then come October, that sounds good. But at the very latest, it will April of next year, when those tax receipts in the U.S. are spectacularly short. Plus, you remember, the last major collapse happened during the transition to Obama, his first administration, in between the two terms. Remember, Obama had...
And Paulson threatened martial law then.
Right. John Cain was there, and Barack Obama was there. That's a great time to stage one of these fantastical economic hijackings. So that is a fantastic time, you know, that November election, especially since it looks like Obama is not going to... It's going to be, he's not going to make it this time. It's going to be a transition to
a new
guy.
Well, that we caught Justice Department people, that was in the Florida papers, trying to get a race war going over Trayvon Martin and the George Zimmerman case. Could it be Obama loses and the Democratic Party, while Obama's still in, tries to stage a bunch of riots as a pretext to...
Well, I also thought Obama was like Jimmy Carter, you know, who came in because people hated Nixon, and they wanted to try something completely new. People really hated Bush by the end of his administration, and they just threw like a Hail Mary pass. They said, let's go with something completely different. Barack Obama, okay, he's a one-term guy. Now we're going back to business as usual, probably with this other guy, Mitt Romney. But during that time, there's that interregnum between the two administrations that where no people aren't sure what they're doing, what the jobs are. It's
sure.
The perfect time for Wall Street to push the sell button, cause a collapse, put a gun to Congress and Senate, and say, do as we do, or there's going to be martial law, or whatever. They give us more money, give us another big bonus.
And by the way, that was on, I mean, I had the congressman on first when that happened in early October, and people didn't believe it was really the congressman. I had two of them on. And then later, they said it a week later on C-SPAN, And that pulled my bacon out of the fire, because sometimes this stuff's so crazy, people think I'm making it up and have fake congressmen on. Folks, we're the opposite of the Onion. We're trying to get it right where they try to get it wrong. But that's on record. They threaten martial law. Tanks on the streets, blood in the streets was the quote. And you just heard Ron Paul earlier saying we've got to avert blood in the streets. Folks, this is a big deal, because as Max said earlier in the last hour, during the 10 years of the Great Depression, major universities estimate 7 million people starved to death or died via complications from malnutrition.
Okay, let me jump in here for a second.
90% were agrarian then. Now 90% are urbans, my point.
Let me jump in. I had a guy on my show, Kaiser Report, last week, Paul Moore, who was the former top regulator at the bank in the UK, Halifax Bank of Scotland, or HBOS. He said on my show that right now, the global financial crisis right now today is already the biggest humanitarian crisis since World War II. That's put over 100 million people into poverty around the world already. Many of them now are facing death. And I asked him point blank. I said, would you call this a financial holocaust? And he said, yes, I would. This is a financial holocaust. And it's already in progress. 100 million have been thrown into poverty in the last 5 years. Many of them, 6 million, 7 million, are now either dead or facing death imminently. That's a holocaust. We're witnessing a financial holocaust.
Well said, and the perpetrators are up there posing as the saviors. Let's go to MJ in Chicago, go to break, and come back with the rest. MJ, first caller, you're on the air with Max Kaiser.
Hello, Alex and Max. Mike, I have a quick question in regards to being a business investor in commercial real estate. Given the tragedy that's about to happen, is it wise to still try to do business even as far as trying to refinance with the banks, even though they're insolvent?
All right, MJ, I'm going to jump off. Thanks for the comment. Your radio's on. Go ahead, Max, comments on that.
Well, the best commercial real estate to buy into right now is the prison industry. They get huge subsidies from the government. They treat it like a real estate investment trust or a REIT, which gives them additional benefits that you don't get to a normal real estate vehicle. And it's a growth industry. That's the only real estate I would invest in is prisons. And I made that comment last year. And that's one stock that I know about is making new all-time highs. And that is the best real estate play you can go for.
Yeah, and then you could also invest in children's cancer. That's way up with all the shots and the GMOs by design, killing us. You can invest in dying children. Just basically anything evil is drones. The defense contractors making those, they're doing well. If there was a Satan Inc., that would be good to invest in, correct, Max?
Well, yeah, and I take your point. And the Monsanto, you know, they're the ones who do the genetically modified seeds. Their stock's doing well. Halliburton, all the defense contractors, all the big oil companies, Corrections Corp of America. These are companies that are making money in this
exactly
environment.
Stay there. We got to go to break. We're going to come back with more calls. But folks, invest in guillotine companies that are going to chop your own head off. Invest in a straight razor company, to slit your own throat. It's a great idea. In fact, invest in children that will roast your own child. Invest in a company where they roast your child for a Christmas ham. That'll be good business, too. Everybody knows the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded.
Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed.
Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the lost.
Yeah, well, I got to say, the war is not over. These crooks could all just go to jail. There are ways to reverse this. Ron Paul, Webster Tarpley, many other economists we've had on have broken down ways out of this. All of them are rough, but nothing as rough as going into the tyranny these people have set up for us because they've designed this implosion. We sell a book that woke me up that was written in 1972, None Dare Call a Conspiracy by Gary Allen and Larry Abraham, available at InfoWarsShop.com. Also, Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined, a film I produced, breaks down their plan to take over through fraud. And Fall of the Republic, I put out 3 years ago, predicted what we're now facing. All available at InfoWarsShop.com or linked through at InfoWars.com. And it is your purchases of books and videos like Behold a Pale Horse, hosted by Charlie Daniels, available at InfoWarsShop.com, that exposes the Agenda 21 New World Order plan. They've got the highest quality water filters, discounted everything right there at InfoWarsShop.com, including InfoWars.com. Patriot Apparel, you'll certainly turn heads and meet like-minded liberty lovers. InfoWarsShop.com. Okay, Max, we've got to move really, really quick, but I briefly, because I saw a question on my Twitter, Real Alex Jones, asking, hey, what's Max's take on the fact that they admit Al-Qaeda works for the West? Yeah, I mean, sure, we knew things had been corrupt for a while, but what's this total disconnect with reality now and just open, pure evil where they say, give your rights up for Al-Qaeda, but Al-Qaeda are heroes fighting in Libya and Syria for NATO, and the CFR came out last week and praised Al-Qaeda and what great fighters they are and said, quote, we need Al-Qaeda. I mean, I thought Al-Qaeda was the ultimate evil.
Right. Well, they're switch hitters. You know, they go either way. They're the transsexuals of evil. You know, I think we invade Iraq to go after Al-Qaeda? Now they're our best friends in Syria. So it makes no sense. I guess they get away with it because people's memory span is, attention span is quite short because of all the drugs and the genetically modified seeds and the debt pushing, I guess.
Let's go back to phone calls. Max Kaiser joins us here. Gail, California, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hi, Alex. Yes, thank you. Max, what good does it do to purchase silver or gold since the government is gearing up for war against American citizens shortly after the dollar collapses? I find it hard to see where we would be able to even spend it, use it, trade, or barter with it.
Okay, well, I mean, anything in that environment, obviously, is going to be helpful in a barter situation. Gold and silver for 5,000 years have maintained their purchasing power. If you want to get down to the nitty gritty of being in a total post collapse,
the globalists, the University of Texas has bought billions in gold the last 2 years.
All the central banks are buying gold. I mean, and this is happening. You know, the people who know what's happening, like the central bankers who have put out a warning to each other that there's a collapse coming, are buying gold. The central bankers in South Korea and other all over the world are buying.
Yeah, ma'am, if we have a total road warrior collapse, gold and silver might not be worth much, but it's probably just going to be a long, horrible depression. When the dollar gets devalued, that gold will suddenly go up in value massively. And we're not saying it's a silver bullet, pun intended. I mean, I believe in lead, and the things that shoot lead as well will go up in value, and that's already happened. But does that answer your question, Gail?
Yes, it does, but I just wanted to know if there's an investment firm that he would recommend so we can avoid the sharks out there ready to rob us blind.
I'll leave that to Alex to fill you in on recommending any investment firms. But, I mean, one thing is the people I know are looking at are so-called junk silver. This is silver that's 50% or less contains. And you can buy a whole bag at a coin show of junk
silver.
Sure,
and everybody knows what it is. And a dime from, 70 years ago is worth 15 times what it is today.
That kind of stuff in a barter situation does extraordinarily well. But for people of any wealth whatsoever, having bullion, silver and gold bullion, held offshore in a vault, not a bank, is the way to go if you want to come out the other side of this with your wealth intact, if not, considerably better off.
Well, let me just say this. Yes, one of my big sponsors is Midas Resources. But when I buy gold, I get it from them because when you buy bullion, gold, and silver from them, they've been around 15 years, before that other company even longer, you get it. It's very well priced, extremely competitive. Midas Resources, 800-686-2237. And they got salesmen there that are great guys, brokers. They'll sell you numismatics, stuff like that. All I know is I know gold and silver. I've called up like I'm somebody else before just to test them out many times and, bought great stuff at like 1% or 2% above spot. The way to go is bullion or junk silver. Max Kaiser just told you right there. Great recommendation. JB.
Yeah, people also, Alex, people say, well, wow, you have a gold sponsor. Isn't that a conflict? But, you were been in bed with those guys since gold was $250 an ounce. So you've got this long-term relationship with them, and they're not the only guys in town. They're reputable. There's other reputable folks. But the point is that You've grown up with them. You've seen this happen
over
10 years.
I believed gold would go up because of dollar devaluation, and I was correct.
10 years.
More than 10, yeah.
Okay, so the gold was $250 an ounce back in 2000. Now it's at $1,600 an ounce. So this is not the newest thing. This is not like, flash, buy gold. No, this has been going on for 10
Max,
years.
Max, exactly. The gold and silver that I've never sold any gold and silver I bought, I continue to buy it. I mean, I only promote what I believe in. That's why I sleep so good at night. But she asked the question. There's the answer. JB in Texas. We got to move quick now. We're really getting behind here. JB, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. Simple yes and no question for Max, and then another simple one for you.
Okay.
The metal sites, Max, have all spoken of explosive August. Do you see that coming? And is it explosive up or down, which would allow us to maximize our stack? And then, Alex, you've spoken of your family leaving the country, and a collapse here in the United States is going to be chaotic. Will the collapse be so noticed in a third world country?
Well, I have said my instinct says get out, but a rat runs, even though that may not be the best thing. I'm staying here.
I'm a rat.
I'm out of there, man.
But you ran into collapsing Europe.
I salute you. No, but I'm going to go wherever I can go. I'm not married to Europe.
Okay, so tell us quickly, where are the best places to go?
Oh, to live in this post-apocalyptic world. Brazil, Chile,
yeah.
Very attractive.
Yeah, folks, I'd go to Chile before Brazil.
Also, the point is you got to be mobile. You got to, because there's a lot of moving parts here. And so you should have two or three passports. You should have businesses in different countries. You should have residences in different countries. You need to become international.
Yeah, I'll be honest. For the first time ever, I've actually looked at opening an office in the Caribbean. I'll just leave it at that. I mean, it's getting that bad, folks. Thank you, JB. Barron in Alabama, you're on the air. Got a minute and a half. Go.
All right, my question is basically about the bonds coming up. You know, Italy has five auctions coming up the rest of this month. Spain has three. How can, with the market trading sideways the way that it is, and everybody's waiting, like Max said, in a musical chairs kind of game, how long can that even continue? Because they can't really ease much more from any side.
That's right. There's a circling of the toilet bowl.
Yeah, okay. The answer to that is they are going to give a banking license to the 600, I think it's $1 billion euro lending facility, the European Stability Mechanism. They're going to say, hey, guess what? That's a fund, but now we're going to call it a bank, and they can lend up, they can borrow up to 6 to 15 trillion euros now.
Oh, so talk about creepy. Obama came out 2 days ago and said, we may bail out all big businesses, which means our tax money given to them in corporate welfare. And boy.
Right. So the toilet bowl is swirling, but in Europe, they can still create a bigger facility to swap these Italian junk assets with the European Central Bank and their affiliate fund in exchange for this junk assets. And they have room to expand by up to 10 trillion euros on this. So this is one thing Europe has that they are still...
Got it. All right, stay there. We're going to come back with Victoria, Aaron, Jeff, James, Corey, Audrey, Peter. We're going to get to all of you.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Last night, the Perseid meteor swarm came through our planetary orbit of the sun. Pretty spectacular. There'll be more tonight. People here in North America, just remember, the globalists may control some of our countries. They don't control the world in general or the greater cosmos. Max Kaiser is our guest, maxkaiser.com. I'm Alex Jones of Infowars.com. So when they're telling them get ready to prevent a collapse, that means get ready for a collapse. And that's what the central banks are really saying. The media spins it that it's prevent. We're in a controlled collapse. They've been giving us a lot of disinfo. Victoria, we got to move quick now. Quick question, quick answer from Max Kaiser. Victoria, Florida, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for having me talk to you about Florida. 95% of the fraudulent tax returns are coming from Florida, so says the agent that I spoke to the day before you guys broke the story about this huge fraud. You know, either they don't have the money to pay, you know, the people that, the real people that, you know, have their tax returns being held up. I'm an identity theft victim. And she said that they were from Florida, 400,000 returns, blah, blah, blah. You know, the ineptitude is just, you know, ridiculous. And, you know, it's like, okay, I guess she said.
Well, ma'am, just to be clear, 95% of it's not in Florida. That's just the person you talked to. The big processing center for the IRS that broke that here in the U.S., they're reporting on it going on all over the country. But what's your question for Max Kaiser?
Well, you know, and again, like I said, the big place in Austin, that's where everybody has to send their returns for fraud. So to answer your question about why all those tax centers are in Austin is because that's where the people who have to send their paper.
Sure. What's your question for Max?
And my question is, and a separate thing is just real quick, I listen to all issues, but what do you guys think of the Zeitgeist movie and its contention that we should just take all of our money out of all
I think it's absolutely horrible. That guy told me, thank you for the call. That guy told me I should be sent to a re-education camp. Everybody living in a big plastic city with a government computer deciding who does what sounds like hell. I mean, you send me to hell. That's basically where that would be. Comments on that, Max Kaiser?
Well, yeah, full disclosure, I'm in that movie, but I've never seen it.
Well, I'm in it, too. It's been seen 50, 60 million times, just one version. But let's just get off that. Yeah. Ma'am, if you want to go to the plastic city, it's waiting for you. Aaron in Washington, you're on the air. We got to move quick here. Go ahead. Yes, Aaron, that was explosive how you got on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, I got you. Gotcha. Max, quick question. Price of discovery. Most people aren't aware of how the commodities markets work. What is your anticipation of how we're going to see a collapse of price of discovery from paper and going over to real physical?
Okay, well, price discovery is what happens at the point of a sale where the buyers and the sellers are mixed together and a price that is mutually beneficial to all parties is derived through something usually called a specialist. Now, I invented the virtual specialist technology, patent number 5950176, U.S. Patent Trademark Office, which is an improvement on that technology. It has been hijacked by Cantor Fitzgerald and Cantor Entertainment, so it'll never see the light of day. But going forward now, you have rogue computers that are programmed to do what's called electronic wash trading, where they pick a price above or below the current market, and they put on a series of trades and buys and sells simultaneously to manipulate price direction, and that's not price discovery. But they do that to manipulate markets and to confiscate wealth from these markets.
Isn't that just high-tech naked shorting?
It's high-tech lynching, basically. It's high-tech. It's siphoning off of the... It's siphoning, essentially.
Basically, the stock market, by and large, is becoming a pure fraud, which I even saw mainstream articles the last 2 weeks saying all this high-frequency trading is discrediting the integrity of the system, which you had just said the week before. How long until this becomes evident and the fraud makes the whole thing fall in on itself?
Because all of this fake price discovery, and the caller makes a good, you know, it's a good call, it's a good concept, and people should familiarize themselves with this idea. But it hollows out all of the what you could call collateral of the system. So you have transactions, you have trades, you have fees, but there's no collateral backing it up. So the only thing that is backing it up are these 0% interest rates that allow for unlimited borrowing at zero cost.
Sure, so we're fueling the speculators. Got to jump to another call. Jeff in Michigan, you're on the air, and then James. Go.
Hello, Max. My question is, you're more familiar with what has gone on recently in Greece and the people's reaction. Do you believe the banks are going to, in order to keep the public's confidence in them, are they going to try and blame a collapse on a war, on the drought, or something other than their derivatives, or will it be transparent to the public and they'll...
Yeah, how did they Svengali that the Greeks are lazy, that's why their government signed them on to Europe's debt to turn it around backwards? I mean, where is that going?
Well, scapegoating is a known psyops, isn't it? We saw that in Europe in the 30s. One group had their wealth confiscated, and then they were scapegoated. They were called vermin by the other side. and then they eventually were all incinerated. And when Paul Moore says we're going through a financial holocaust with 100 million people already put into poverty by the crisis over the past 5 years, with millions now dead or dying, this is exactly what is going on. And they will use any event that they can to mask the holocaust. It could be an agricultural drought. It could be a spike in food prices. It could be a collapse of a bank. That's one that they use often and quite effectively. Then one of these too big to fail banks collapses. Could be Standard Chartered. Could be HSBC. Could be Bank of America. Suddenly now there's a crisis. Suddenly now there's...
Point is, the whole system is based on massive fraud. Thank you, Jeff. James in North Carolina, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for the time. Two quick questions. One, Max, will the Euro Swiss floor at 120 hold?
No.
No. Okay.
That's a short answer.
The other question is, I'm holding a bunch of puts on Morgan. If the stock goes to zero, will I get paid, or will they just say, yeah, we owe you the money, there's the door, you won't see it?
You have good company there, because I believe Jim Rogers is also short JP Morgan. He's a big time money manager. But the puts, if you're short, you go through the Options Clearing Corporation, which I guess if Morgan goes under, they will have trouble matching trade. So
But the governments will just pay it off in devalued dollars and other currencies. The problem is that'll bring in hyperinflation. I believe they're going to continue to bail out and pay all this off. It's just going to go into hyperinflation, Max.
Yeah, well, the caller was asking specifically about the workings of the options market. And having been an options broker on Wall Street for many years and one of the biggest options producers in the Shearson Lehman Hutton system, I would not hold those contracts.
So you think they may actually stick people that are trading? All right, got it. Kind of like we saw the MF Global. Thank you, James. Other question?
Will I see volatility increasing in JP Morgan between now and the time that the derivatives come home to roost?
All of the trades are computer generated, and you see, for example, in the volatility index, which is called the VIX, the VIX, it's not reflecting the true underlying volatility. So all of the signifiers that would tell you how bad the volatility is are being curbed. They're being shut down with all this computer trading. So you can't get a good reason.
Exactly. As it gets more and more fraudulent, they scramble the numbers more and more, which fogs the whole system. Thank you,
absolutely,
James. Audrey in Dallas, and then Peter. We're getting everybody in. Audrey, quick question.
All right. My question is, Angela Merkel has been front and center in Europe, with Germany being the big powerhouse economically speaking, and it's come out recently that their economy is finally on the chopping block. What's the trigger to watch for as far as Germany's collapse?
Well, we've been saying Germany is really the big beneficiary in all this. You know, before the euro was created, they were forbidden from reuniting. Then magically with the euro came the reunification of Germany, and they're the biggest winner so far, because if they go to a European-wide fiscal consolidation policy, it'll be run out of Berlin and out of Frankfurt. So they potentially...
Yeah, Germany is now conquering economically.
Yeah, they are doing what they have tried to do before, and a lot of people call it the Fourth Reich. And, keep in mind that Germany unemployment number are very strong. They have strong, very strong employment numbers. Their social welfare system, the healthcare, and et cetera, is in surplus. And their export market, as long as they're in the euro and the euro is weak, their export market thrives. They don't want to leave the euro because then they...
Basically, it's like you said, musical chairs, but the people are also got musical hand grenades. And who knows who the hand grenade's going to explode in their hand, but it's going to kill everybody in the room.
Here's a prediction, a wild card prediction. Everyone has been talking about China as being the next superpower. I disagree. I think China's going to collapse. I think the next superpower is going to be Germany. I've been saying that for 2 years now.
I agree with you. I agree. The euro rising. Absolutely.
Well, the Deutsche Mark could rise, but the reconstituted, Eurofied Deutsche Mark run out of Berlin.
Max, we got to get you back on later in the week, like tomorrow at 11 a.m. Central, Infowars.com.